There's no path to follow.
Coming up this month.
Hi, I'm Willie Mason, and you're listening to the Comedia Comcast.
We look ahead to the return of folk singer-songwriter Willie Mason with an exclusive listen of a live track from last year.
There is always people in that workshop that will just completely surprise me.
Jill Edwards tells us a few inspiring stories from her comedy course at Comedia.
My show involves a red dress, a bra, a construction hat, a frying pan, sunglasses, some shoes, four afro wigs.
And we hear the voice behind the mute that is the boy with tape on his face as he spills the beans on his full comedy prop shop. But first,
hi, I'm Jill Edwards. I run the comedy workshops at Comedia and the monthly comedy club Comic Boom.
So we're sitting outside Comedia and you're just back from Edinburgh, feeling a little bit under the weather by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I don't normally sound like an 0898 number, but I have been up at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival having the most amazing time looking for fabulous brand new acts for Comic Boom, and I found loads.
How do you differentiate between what's good and bad up then? There must be such a massive, massive selection.
It's just experience, I suppose. I mean, I hope that I get it right, but I listen to what people are saying, what the buzz is, people recommend acts to me, and then I literally just trawl around. You can kind of tell if people are going to become big, if they are actually going to get there. They've got sort of a shine, a kind of a gloss about them. And there are certain acts that I just think, oh, our Boom regulars will love them. Usually, fingers crossed, I usually get it right. They're always interesting.
Anyone specific that we should be keeping an eye out for?
Well, our headliner in September, Nick Helm, is absolutely storming the Edinburgh Fringe Festival as we speak. He has got 4- and 5-star reviews from everyone. He has had to add extra shows. And he's going to be here in September at the September Boom, which is fantastic.
What's his kind of style?
He does these insane songs and poems. He's quite aggressive, actually, but aggressive in a way that you know it's not real. He's got one of my favourite songs of his is he talks about having bumped into his ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend. And then he comes up with this song, and the song is, "He Makes You Look Fat." Just brilliant.
I like that.
I mean, I've been to gigs before where he's got the entire audience on the stage singing, the entire audience. Like 200 people on stage singing, "Pleased to meet you, pleased to greet you." Just bonkers. You know, it's kind of bonkers, but really genuinely edgy and interesting. He's a great act. I'm really looking forward to him headlining Booms. He started off doing the little short spots. He's one of those acts that we've watched develop, and I know that our regulars love watching acts develop and turn into headline acts, and sort of they feel like they've had a part in that, which of course they have.
Must be quite a satisfying little job you've got going in there. Obviously, this is all part and parcel of the comedy workshops that you also run here at Comedia, and training sort of comedians to master their training for over 17 years.
The comedy workshops here at the Comedia, very exciting. It's great running them here. It's such a nice thing to be able to do them in this incredible venue. I really enjoy working in the downstairs room, same room as the Crater. They actually get to come and cut their teeth for the very first time in the same room as great and famous people are actually performing in the evening, which is lovely. Comic Boom, I do use some students from the workshops when they're ready. Some of them will be comparing it next year.
How easy is it to teach someone to be funny?
Well, everyone's funny. What I have to teach them to do is to access their ability to be funny. If you've ever laughed in your life, even if it was just once, you do have a sense of humour. That sense of humour, that is an understanding of some kind of understanding of comedy. So you can actually turn that round and make other people laugh. Whether you can be a comic for a living or not is an entirely different matter, because there is a lot involved in that. But everybody essentially is funny. And what I do is help them access what it is that will be their funny.
What's the best kind of or most successful story you've had so far through your course? Workshop, a person you've met, or the person you maybe thought that wasn't going to ever be able to master any kind of comedy whatsoever and has just got there and given you like a big lift?
Do you know, actually that happens quite often, that someone that I just think is no way ever going to stand up in class will suddenly get up and do something fantastic. I mean, the people I work with in the workshops constantly surprise me. I mean, that's one of the things that's so lovely about teaching the workshops. There is always people in that workshop that will just completely surprise me by their uniqueness or by their sudden ability to be a comic. Obviously, I'm very proud of all the people I've taught who've done very, very well, like Jimmy Carr and Chappie Corsandi and Hal Krupnasidov, Sean Walsh, all those people. Angela Barnes, of course, winning the BBC New Comedy Award. That was unbelievably exciting and just wonderful. And I saw her in Edinburgh and she's having a brilliant time.
We did speak to her, actually, on last month's podcast about how she was getting on up there. Well, what did you see live and in the flesh on stage up there?
I didn't. I saw Angela in the library bar and we talked at great length about how well things are going, but I didn't actually go and see her because I've seen her.
Was she drunk? Was she celebrating?
She wasn't drunk, no. She was very well behaved, but she was enormously happy. She was very chipper, is what I say, which is quite unusual for Edinburgh. But she obviously was doing, she'd done the BBC gigs up there, and she was She'd done a last minute show and she was just having an absolutely brilliant time. There's not much that's more satisfying for me than seeing someone who's not only won an award, who's seriously carving out a great career, got a really good agent and really happy. I think some of the people I've taught that stick in my mind, that aren't, they've gone on to be really famous, whatever, odd courses that I've done. Like I did the Home Office, I did some corporate workshops at the Home Office, and there was this lovely collection of very quiet ladies who wanted to know how to use humour, also to be confident enough to stand up, and they were ever so shy and ever so sweet, and I had to hold one of their hands so that she could stand up and tell me a joke, and she was trembling, but she got her joke out and the whole room just went yay, and somebody said to me, she hasn't spoken to anyone in years, I didn't know she even had a voice. And it's those sort of precious moments.
What would be your sort of top tips for comedy, or where do people, what part of them should they sort of tap into to maybe find their humour?
There's not, I mean, you need to watch live stand-up comedy, really. You need to go to some of the newer clubs and then go to the top clubs. You got it all here at Crater, basically. Go to the Crater, come to Comic Boom, see the newer people, see what the difference is. So watching it, really actively watching it, is the best preparation before you come and do the course.
Well, September's course is sold out at Comedia, but there is a spring course next year in March to get involved in. Check out jill-edwards.co.uk for details. And the fruits of those courses and beyond will be live in action at Comic Boom on Thursday, September the
29th.
Hi, my name is Sam Wills. I'm voice behind the boy with tape on his face. The silent, strange, weird act on the comedy circuit.
It does sound like it's been a pretty crazy time up there in Edinburgh.
It is a wee bit. Edinburgh's always crazy. I think people kind of lose their mind in the wee bubble that it is.
Losing their minds up there seems to be sort of par for the course, actually, or sort of maybe part of the act to a certain degree.
Yeah, I think so. This is where it'll either make or break you. You could earn a fortune hoping a therapy session.
Do they do special deals on that kind of thing up there?
I'm sure that somebody should, yeah. Even if it was just a head massage.
I suppose if it doesn't go well, that could be a secondary career step for you.
Yeah, that's either that or open a crash.
So it looks like the stars have been rolling in. I think there's 5 stars next to your name in the Edinburgh Review kind of preview list, which isn't bad.
Quite nice. We're doing quite well. We're very happy.
Absolutely. That's really, really exciting. You've been sort of, I've been looking through some of the reviews today in the Telegraph, the Independent. I've seen the blog that you've been writing as well. Sort of people have been saying that you're basically your act is kind of, you know, a masterclass of mime. I mean, how does that make you feel?
It's pretty funny because I've never studied mime in my life. That's quite good. I suppose it is, isn't it, really? It's kind of like, I kind of think of it as just stand-up with no talking. That's all it is, because I'm using the same tools as every other stand-up comedian. I've set up and punchline and a bit of a narrative throughout the whole show. And it's like, I never say to people that I'm a mime, because it's like, there are some really, really good mimes out there, and I'm not one of them. Because, you know, I use so much music and I use so many props. It's like, for me, the idea when you say mime is one person on stage wearing some sort of leotard.
Have you not been wearing that leotard this week?
No, I wear my leotard on the inside.
That's such a shame. I was thinking that you know, you might be bringing a mankini to Brighton. We've always been needing one of those in our lives.
Again, that's another whole different show. That would be the therapy show. Yeah.
Good for the seaside, though, always.
Oh, yeah, it would be handy. Yeah.
Slightly funny tan lines, perhaps. So, I mean, yeah, like I say, you don't really do any talking, as we know, and that's because you've kind of got a bit of gaffer tape over your mouth. What possessed you? Where did this come from? What's the idea behind it?
It is one of the most popular questions, is why did I put tape on my face? I did another show where I talked a lot. I started out being a street performer, and I moved indoors to comedy clubs doing my version of prop comedy, which would involve me pushing my body through a tennis racket and hammering nails up my nose, and I would talk a lot during that routine. And then
screaming?
I won a few comedy awards and kind of, I pretty much reached the top of my game over there. And so I decided that everyone expected me just to talk more and do more tricks. So I decided to surprise everyone and do a silent character. And so I came on stage as this little character, and within 30 seconds I ruined it by talking to the front row. And so the next night I came back and I put a big hunk of gaffer tape over my mouth to take away the urge of talking. And that's kind of where the character came from.
Drastic measures to keep you silent.
Oh, absolutely, because I just couldn't help myself. It is that urge to talk to people. I do like chatting to people.
Well, I can imagine the urge must be quite irresistible when you've got a brilliant audience member doing that bit of participation on stage, which we've obviously seen at Edinburgh last year as well, with people kind of leaping out of the audience, literally falling over themselves to get on stage there with you.
I do try and avoid the people who want to be on stage. They can be normally the craziest.
Or the drunkest.
My favourite sort of people who I like to have up on stage are people who are not wanting to perform, but at the same time who are really comfortable. So when you get someone who's just a 100% true normal person, you can then get some really beautiful comedy moments as well, because it's just them playing along. And I think that's the thing, it's people who want to play along without playing up. It's a very, very fine line.
Yeah, no, I could just imagine, especially after a few pints of the finest bitter in the house.
Yeah, a few drinks and somebody, and then all of a sudden an afro wig isn't meant to go on your head. We had one volunteer in Glasgow on the tour last year who, during a certain stripping routine, decided to keep going. And he removed his own trousers, which was highly entertaining. The audience were, you know, only in Glasgow, I suppose.
So what are we going to see in Brighton when you come down here next month, on the 28th of September, on the Wednesday?
The show you'll see is, the guarantee I try and make people is that I will make you laugh for an entire hour and you won't hear a single word.
Talk us through your props, because I was kind of reading in your blog pages and in the broadsheets, and then you were just sort of saying that, you kind of feel like a bit like a stripper collecting
her
G-string
after the show. It's always the oddest situation, because I have to normally, my show involves a red dress, a bra, a construction hat, a frying pan, some sunglasses, some shoes, four afro wigs, just the normal everyday objects that you carry in a suitcase. I tell you, the most exciting thing for me is going through customs.
Some strange looks, no doubt.
Yeah, especially when you're carrying five rolls of gaffer tape as well. Never a good conversation.
What's your excuse? How do you explain it?
Once I sort of say I'm an entertainer, I get led away with it pretty quick. But the most fun the other week was actually flying up from London, and the woman, because I had a very solid looking suitcase, she thought I had electrical gear in there, and she asked me what was in the suitcase. And I had the pleasure of being able to say, oh, there's two horses' heads in the toilet seat. And the look on her face was priceless. It was great fun.
I mean, you've obviously got some very odd props. The toilet seat sounding like the most random. Will that be coming to Brighton?
That one will not be coming to Brighton. That one was being used for just a one-off very special show in London. But no, there's enough strange props that will be coming to Brighton.
We'll check out exactly what props the boy with tape on his face has in store for Comedia on Wednesday, September the 28th. Tickets are on sale at comedia.co.uk. Finally, after literally bowling the venue over last year, Willie Mason is back at the venue this month, or September the 8th. In honour of his return, we decided to give you a quick blast of his live set from last year.
I'm flying by the seat of my pants these days. I don't know if that's a saying over here or not, but yeah. But why not, you know? Made it here. I don't know if I would have found this club if it weren't for Ben. He was riding co-pilot from Birmingham.
Do you always kind of fly by the seat of your pants like that in, gigs and in terms of kind of meeting artists and kind of collaborating with them?
It tends to happen that way, yes. Although I do have like a bunch of people back home that I play with a whole lot, but it's hard to get them over the border sometimes and across the ocean too. So I'm happy to be back over here, and it's always end up meeting a lot of new people.
Do you think that's kind of the nature of folk music a little bit more, because everyone's, got their own unique instrument, but, everyone's quite up for maybe jamming and kind of getting to know each other's music?
Well, it is nice that a lot of us play guitar and a lot of us use the same chords in our songs, so it's... And there's a lot of, especially with the more traditional folk music, there's a lot of standard melodies and themes and choruses that tie a lot of people together that we could just jump in and sing a couple songs. Although over here, again, it's a lot, there's a whole nother tradition of folk music over here, so I got a chance to learn a lot too.
I mean, any sort of Mumford & Sons gig or whatever, or Laura Marling, when she kind of picks up those guys, there's always a lot of people on stage. I mean, what do you know about kind of the British folk scene? What do you make of it?
I'm just picking up on it after a long absence, but it's pretty exciting to see so many people interested in songwriting and acoustic music and collaboration. And I hope I get to hear some more of it while I'm over here and see some live performances.
Is there anyone in particular, maybe sort of a UK-based artist that you'd maybe think about working with on this album or in the future?
I hope I get to meet up with a lot of different people. I have just recently been turned on to Laura Marling, and I think she's great. I'm always open to collaboration, whatever form it takes.
Spinning until I'm dizzy.
close my eyes and start again.
You've obviously been touring with Isabel Campbell, and you know, you've kind of done some pretty big support slots, and you know, for Radiohead and some other really big sort of British names. I mean, is there anyone specific that you might kind of think about hooking up with?
I'm just happy to be on the road. I seem to learn something from everybody I tour with, no matter who it is or what they do. It's always interesting. I kind of hope that next time I come around, I can bring some of my friends from back home, actually. As much as I like everybody I've gotten to tour with over here, I think about the living room back home, you know, where everybody's, my mom and my dad, my friend Nina, Violet, Colin Rule. There's all these songwriters that I just almost feel like they should be up there with me every time I'm singing. Being away from home is kind of feels good this time. And plus they got Skype now, so I can stay in touch with everybody.
I was gonna say, they must be all crowding around the laptop back home. For more information on what's coming up at Comedia, visit www.comedia.co.uk, where you'll also be able to find early bird offers for Crater Christmas crackers. And if you book your tickets by the end of September, you'll get a fiver off each one.